Matthew 13 and verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell in rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Amen. This is God's word to us this evening. Let's just pause for a moment and let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for even just some of the pictures as we read the first part of Matthew 13 there. And just saw some of the scenery in Peru behind. We thank you for the work that's going on there as the gospel seed is being sown. Lord, as we think about the soil this evening, the sacred soils, help us to have an honest look at our own lives. And Lord, just challenge our hearts and encourage us this evening. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. An old, partially sighted farmer scatters seed by hand in a field with a beautiful backdrop of the sacred valley of Peru. Unfortunately, the picture doesn't show the severe flooding that was spoken of in the video earlier. The flooding that destroyed the precious harvest and the flooding that damaged homes of a small farming community in the UK Valley. To help this community face a more certain future, BMS World Mission provided the seed to help them plant new crops. However, as we look at the picture, as we watched in the video, this traditional method of sowing seed, it seems so inefficient and so out of date. It may cause us to ask, why can't each seed be planted in a better prepared soil? Why couldn't all the weeds and stones first be removed before planting? But the same questions may be asked of a parable told by Jesus to a crowd who had forced him to preach from a boat just off the shores of Galilee. And that's the backdrop to this parable. There's such a large crowd had gathered down by the lake that Jesus got in a boat and had to preach and speak to them from the boat. Jesus' story describes seeds falling on well-ploughed soil, whilst other seeds fell on less productive places. His story doesn't criticise the sower or the efficiency of the farming method. Actually, if we think about it, the inefficiency of the sower's method may be deliberately intended to speak of God's generosity in sowing the seeds of the kingdom everywhere, and especially in diverse places across our society. Jesus then explained the meaning of the parable by comparing the seed to the message of the kingdom in verse 19 and following, and the soil to those who respond to it. And you'll know if you were with us over the summer months that we had a little look at this passage in a lot more detail. So I had thought this evening of missing the BMS's message out and doing my own thing. But then I began to think, you know, it's an important thing for us to think on just one aspect of the parable this evening. So whereas in the summer we thought of the whole parable, this evening I want us just to think about the sacred soils. The sacred soils as we see them mentioned here. And in doing this, I hope that we may discover what soil we currently are and what that means for us. When Jesus began his ministry, those early followers, many of them, responded instantly to his command to follow me. At this stage in his ministry, as we get to Matthew 13, he was preaching to a crowd who had very mixed responses to him. Some loved to hear him and were ready to respond. Others were shallow in their response. There were also some who were ready to criticize and even to ridicule his new teaching. So Jesus spoke in parables to help each person discover the truth for themselves. Perhaps as he unpacked the story, each person would identify their response with the different kinds of soil. And they might ask themselves the question, is Jesus describing me or is he describing someone else? Is Jesus describing the Israel or is he describing the Gentiles? What kind of soil am I? Am I hard-packed soil? Am I shallow soil? Am I soil filled with thorns? Or am I that fertile soil? As we go through this evening and just the next 10 or 15 minutes, ask yourself that same question. What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? The first soil we discover is hard-packed soil. Verse 4 tells us, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is his seed sown along the path. In other words, the seed that fell on the path couldn't penetrate the ground. And the birds hovering nearby, waiting to snatch the seed when the farmer turned his back and it would come down and they would just grab it. Luke adds that any seeds the birds missed were then trampled in by men. If you read Luke's parallel account of this parable, this illustrates to us the person who is hard-hearted. Fields in first century Palestine, as I spoke about in the summer when we looked at this, were arranged in long, narrow strips. The ground between each strip was frequently walked upon by passers-by. And that's what Jesus meant when he said that some of the seed fell among the path, fell onto the path. If seed fell there, and it often did as a farmer walked up and down and scattered it, there was more chance of it penetrating into the earth. There was no more chance of it penetrating into the earth than if it had fallen on the road. This seed really became nothing more than bird seed. Nothing more than birdseed, because the sparrows and the crows could easily get to it and pick it up and eat it. And Jesus compares this soil to a hard-hearted response. Such a response may be caused by cynicism, it may be caused by arrogance. Do you know, it may even be caused by bitter disappointment at unanswered prayer. When our hearts begin to feel like this, the words of Psalm 95 and verse 8 come to mind. Do not harden your hearts. Do not be a people whose hearts go astray. And that should be a gentle warning to us of the dangers of a hard heart. Now that's not to say, of course, that we should give up witnessing to people who are hard-hearted to spiritual things. You know, in the south choir aisle of Westminster Abbey is a white and green marble tablet to the memory of a gentleman called Samuel Barnett, who was a canon of Westminster. On the memorial, Samuel Barnett is represented as the figure of a sower with the inscription above, "Fear not to sow because of the birds." Fear not to sow because of the birds. And God used that man to improve the conditions of Whitechapel, that area of London, a hard place notorious for poverty and overcrowded housing conditions. Hearts were softened and the soil became fruitful for the kingdom. So we shouldn't give up in hard hearts. We should keep sharing the gospel. We should keep preaching to them. But we ourselves need to watch that we don't let our hearts get hard-hearted because of anything that's gone on in our lives. Some of the disappointments that are there. The hard-packed soil. Then we turn to shallow soil. Verses 5 and 20. Verse 5. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And then we jump down to verse 20. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. This was ground that was actually a thin layer of earth on the top of an underlying shelf of limestone rock. On such ground, the seed would germinate very quickly, because such ground easily grew warm when the sun shone on top of it. But there was no depth to the earth. When the plant sent down its roots in search of nourishment and in search of moisture from the ground, it would meet only the rock beneath it, and it would be starved to death. Its roots would become weak and unable to stand when storm or drought would come. A teacher of the law told Jesus that he would follow him wherever he went. And Jesus saw a shallow response in that man. And he said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He was trying to say to the man, "Do you know what? When things get difficult, you're going to turn around and you're going to walk away. Your response is shallow. It's not deep." You know, we may be attracted by the warm feelings that a church family and a church fellowship gives, but we can do that without making a commitment to give our lives over to the one who made us, who loves us and ultimately owns us. And it gains us nothing. It gains us nothing. Shallow soil. Then there's this soil that's filled with thorns. And we pick that up in verse 7. "Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants." Verse 22, "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful." This soil looks like it's ready to be sown. Also, it's ready to receive the seed as the farmer scatters it. But underneath the surface are the living roots, are the seeds of thorns and of weeds. When the seed falls here, it also quickly springs to life, and it gives every indication that all is going to be well and that a bumper harvest is going to come. However, that same ground begins to produce the thorns, and it begins to produce the weeds that are already there, and they soon choke out that tender plant. The plant withers and dies without producing any fruit whatsoever. Thorns, like weeds, will choke the life out of any new plant. And Jesus compares the thorns here with the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth. We live in an age, don't we, where it's almost expected of us to entangle our lives with busyness and with consumerism. When Martha felt that Jesus didn't appreciate her busyness, he gently encouraged her to see the importance of not being distracted by so many things and instead focusing in on the one thing that was important, focusing in on Jesus. Likewise, consumerism, materialism, they're the weeds that prevent us from living a fruitful life for Jesus. We constantly need the attention, don't we, of a divine gardener to prune us in this age of affluence, this age where we have all of our iPods and iPhones and whatever else there happens to be. There was a way to tell you a bad story, but I'll not. Well, maybe I'll get into trouble. I've probably told it before. There was a man who decided that he wanted to get himself an iPad. And then his children were at him because he was getting an iPad. So he bought his son an iPhone and his daughter an iPod. And then his wife said, "What do I get?" And he went out and he bought her an iron. That's terrible, isn't it? I'll get crucified afterwards. But we get caught up in consumerism and materialism. And some of those are the things that crowd us out, that are like the thorns and like the weeds that drag us down. Hard-packed, shallow, soil filled with thorns. But lastly, we do turn to the fertile soil. Verses 8 and then 23. Verse 8 there, "Still other seed fell in good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown." And then he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." Verse 23, "But the one who received the seed that fell in good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." Finally, some seed fell onto good ground. This ground had been worked, and it had been prepared. It had been ploughed, and it had been tilled, and it was ready to receive the seed when it came. The seed germinated within the heart of the soil, and the plant began to grow. And when the plant reached maturity, it would produce fruit and bring honour and gain to the farmer. The good ground was deep, it was clean, and it was soft. The seed could gain entry and find nourishment and consequently bring forth that abundant harvest. And this is the soil of the open heart. This is the response of us receiving God's truth and receiving it well. Jesus said that this soil is capable of producing a crop that yields 160, even 30 times what was sown. And you know, this would have astounded the hearers in Jesus' day, because the average crop yield in those days was less than 8 to 1. Less than 8 to 1. And Jesus is saying, guess what? 30 times, 60 times, 100 times will be the harvest. Fertile soil can be hard to come by. Ask a farmer. Ask a gardener who likes to grow things in his garden, and who sometimes his land is just on the wrong type of soil. Sometimes it lands in the right place, and God produces a harvest. For Scott and Aunt Jeanette across in Cusco, there in Peru, they've sown the seed of the gospel. Their church is beginning to grow. Mercedes, in the picture, as we saw in the video clip a little while ago, received the word gladly in her heart. She was fertile soil. She was rich and ready to hear the gospel. And so when they shared it with her, she accepted it. And then she grew, and she was baptized a year later, and she's now living a fruitful life, sharing Jesus with her family and with her friends, all because of a seed sown in the right kind of soil. And so this evening, just a quick look we've had at the sacred soils in which the seed is sown. And we're like the farmer. That farmer all those years ago, as we broadcast, as we scatter, as we share the seeds of the gospel, wherever we go, we share them with our friends at university, we share them with our colleagues at work, we share them with our family in our home, we share them with the people in the community that we meet and that we share with. And some of that seed lands on hard-packed soil, where often we see the hard-hearted response of cynicism and arrogance and even bitter disappointment to that unanswered prayer. Some of that seed lands on shallow soil, where hearts are warm to the Christian family, but where a commitment is never really made, that firm commitment to take up your cross and to follow. Some lands on soil filled with thorns, where the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, overwhelm people. But the great news is, the encouraging news for us, is that some of that seed that we sow falls on fertile soil, where hearts are receptive to the gospel. And the encouragement comes in stories like that of Mercedes on the video, who respond to the gospel, who keep sowing the seed in sacred soil. And so the encouragement for us is to sow the seed. To sow the seed, knowing that it may land in all types of soil, but that God can take that seed and can grow it and can bless it. But you know, just as we finish, it may be worth considering that the four soils all came from the same field. They all came from the same small geographic area. And Jesus was saying that this doesn't necessarily represent then four different types of people, but four different types of response in the heart of the same person. And you know, all of us at times have seasons in our life when our hearts are hard, and when our hearts are shallow, and when our hearts are over-involved in the things of the world, and hey, even when our hearts are over-involved in the activities of the church. And sometimes in life, our hearts are actually open to what God wants to say and what God wants to do. And so the challenge needs to be not only to keep sowing the seed everywhere, but the challenge needs to be to examine our own hearts on a constant basis, on a regular basis, to see what kind of soil we are. What soil are we this evening? What soil are you? Pray that the hardness would soften. Pray that the shallowness would deepen. And pray that the over-involved would focus on God alone, that we might be open to receive from Him. Which soil are you? Which soil am I right now? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for just these few moments together in your word this evening. We thank you that your word is always living and active. It's always sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we thank you that even in familiar passages, we can be challenged afresh. And so Lord, help us to take the challenge and the encouragement tonight to keep sowing the seed of the gospel. Help us to look out for opportunities this week to share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. Help us not to be afraid to take up that challenge to share with them. But Lord, in the midst of that, help us to look into our own hearts and our own lives and to see what stage our hearts are at the moment. And Lord, for most of us here, we've given our lives over to you and have done for a number of years. But that doesn't mean that we don't go through phases in our life, even today, even tonight perhaps, where our hearts are hard, or where they're shallow, or where they're over-involved in the things of the world instead of being open to you. Father God, we pray that you would help us to examine our hearts, and that you would help us to open them up to you, that the seed of your word, that the truth of your word might settle into our hearts and might impact upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to keep considering it as we go from this place this evening. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.